bizzat da şey
Disgusting.
anonymous. So can happen.
Okay. I'm trying. Okay, so again, we're busy looking in the Chaybos and Levavos at the differences between someone who has betochen, how he deals with situations, and someone who doesn't have betochen, how he deals with situations. Yeah? And the work, again, is not to deal with the ideal. The work is to get inside.
Oh, I'll drink it.
No, I'll drink it. Yeah, you drink the one I made. Then we both get a mitzvah. You drink the one I made, and I probably made my pot even
might be
after you.
Rebus, right? That's
Why
Rebus.
Rebus? There's no Rebus. There was no Halvaya.
We're allowed to, man.
Allowed to argue with a guy with a machine gun. That's all I want to know. I grew up in South Africa. We call guys with guns, sir. Okay. Go ahead. The Pirchashishis. So again, the work has to find in ourselves these differences. How do I respond to certain situations when I'm in betochen mode, when I'm not in betochen mode? That's where the work here is, okay? It's not about grasping the ideal and saying, well, that's not shaykh to me and moving on. I mean, there are those, that is one way to approach the problem, but that's not the way we deal with it. Okay. So we're on Taf Dalet, Apir HaShishis. Now we're dealing here with a person who is a, sorry, that was the first step. The next step is there are people that want from a Kodesh Baruch Hu payment up front before they start doing what they're supposed to do. Well, if he wants enough money to live on for the rest of his life, his kids as well, probably. If he's really worried about his family, his grandchildren should also be financially taken care of. And then you'll start thinking about, preparing for the next world. That's called somebody who wants a mashkin. He wants surety from Hashem that he'll get what he wants before he starts doing anything. Correct? So again, we also have this tendency, and we have to try and find it in ourselves and try and use the Chovos HaLevavos' kashas on that hashkofa to eradicate this type of thinking. So go like this. Adam alokach mashkin. You lend somebody money, and you know that he's going to pay you back before the time you've given up. That's not the hot seat. This is the hot seat. Oh, Mark sits there. Okay, sorry. You have to sit there. All right. What can I do? Nothing, just words, whatever. Okay. So if you know that this guy that you're paying is going to pay you back even before the time, and he's also, the guy's a big chesed, and he's going to pay you back. He's going to pay you back much more than he owes you. Don't often cut in that business. Maybe it wasn't a loan. He bought something for him to pay. So he comes to pay and says, no, I want to pay you more than we agreed on. Ever happened to you in business? You cut a deal with somebody, you sign a contract, the guy's going to pay you $50,000. He comes the day before he has to pay and says, I want to give you $100,000. Why? Because whatever, I just feel 50 is not enough. Okay. So if you're dealing with a guy like that, okay, you're dealing with a guy like that. So you don't ask him for surety. You don't ask him for a mashkin. For sure not. A guy like that, you wouldn't ask for surety because this guy's straight. You can rely on him. He's not going to pay. He's not just going to pay you back. He's going to pay back even more. Put aside Hilchus Ribis here. That's a very, very despicable thing to do on our part to ask Hashem for surety. Hashem Ekirin Anu Es Hanagosa Atoiva. We recognize Hashem. We have a track record with Hashem already. You know that He gives us much more than we deserve. Bavo. You know how much He's done for us in the past. Anybody's got doubts here about how much Hashem takes care of you? And He pays us for the. He's going to pay us for the mitzvahs that we do, whether they're Ben Om L'Chaveiru, Ben Om L'Makom, Ben Adam La'atzmoy. You can't even begin to imagine the reward you're going to get. It's beyond our comprehension. Just to give you a taste of how big that schar is, the mission picker Ava says it's more than all the pleasure that ever was and ever will be in this world. If you take all the pleasure that ever was in this world that anybody ever, ever had, and you squeeze it into one moment of pleasure, that's a lot of pleasure, yeah? That's an enormous amount of ecstasy. One moment of Olam Habayah is more than all of that. So we're not even understanding how much Hashem is going to give us. Can't begin to describe it. Moshe Kosov Ain Loroso, the Novi says, no eye ever saw this. Elokim Zulosra Yasel Machakelo. Only Hashem knows what's waiting for us. Even the Malachim don't understand how great the sky is that Hashem's giving us. So now when Hashem comes and says, please will you do me a favor? Tell one second, just one second. I'm happy to do you a favor. I want payment up front. Tashlum Mirosh. You go putting gas by the petrol, by the Tachana Delek here. You push the button, you tell them 50 shekels. She says, Tashlum Mirosh. They want you to pay first. Why? Because you put in the petrol, you'll drive off. That's what they're worried about, yeah? So that's why you're asking Hashem for a mushroom, because you're worried that he won't pay you what he said he'll pay you. So before I do what Hashem wants me to do, Beseda, aval bona, bona se sedia, let's sort things out. I want my salary first. I want to make sure that I have enough money to live on for the rest of my life. Then I'll start thinking about you, Hashem. You understand? There's a problem with that. That's Piecha Shishis. Shvi's, I think, is the last one. Yeah, it is. And then we have one more chapter to go. Look at that. Zion. I mean, Ches is not there yet. Ches is just a little. No, there isn't a Ches. Zion, Zion. Not Ches, Zion. The last, the seventh and last. Shai Adam Amashkin is Chaveira, a person who wants unity from his friend. Aino Oisavis and Achreshi Eshbiyah Chaltu La'amid Rishus Chaveira is Adobe. You can't take surety from somebody before you have the ability to give the guy what you're giving him in order that you should get the mashkin. Guy's borrowing money from you, for example, you want a mashkin, but you don't have the money to lend him. So why would you take a mashkin from somebody who you can't even lend him the money? Guy wants $100,000. Yeah? You tell him, yeah, for sure, but I want a mashkin, but you don't have $100,000 to lend him. So why would you ask for surety? You're not going to be able to give him the loan in the first place, or whatever else it is. That's bothering you, Daniel? Very simple. I come to you and say, can you lend me $50,000? You tell me, yeah, for sure, but I want surety. What surety you give me? I tell you, fine, you can have my house, whatever, yeah? But you don't have $50,000 to lend me, so why are you asking for surety on something you're not even able to give you? You don't have what to give me, so what? Ah, you look in the nimshal. No, No. You'll work out the nimshal first. Get the mottle clear. The mottle's what hurts, not the nimshal. if the nimshal hurt, you wouldn't need a mottle. you gotta swallow what's bitter. It still doesn't bother me that much. What? So too, don't take one from Hashem. Because you haven't got what to give him back. The nimshal bothers you. It's only because the muscle makes sense to you.
Right.
If the muscle didn't make sense to you, then I'm saying you have to first get the muscle right, then it hurts. And then you go, oh, right, for sure I wouldn't take a mushroom from someone in that case. So why are you asking Hashem for a mashkin then? Aval Adam a mashkin is a boyris barach. B'zeh shu mevakish memenu merosh es tovasot. This person who, again, we're calling it a mashkin. But what he's doing is he's asking for Hashem before he does anything for Hashem. He's asking in advance all the good that Hashem is going to give him. Hara ein lo ayecholet l'male es atafkidim shayim utolim olav tmura toiv asaylu. He doesn't have the ability to fulfill his mission that Hashem gave him in order to get these good things. He doesn't even know if he can pay back Hashem the debts that he has already. We already said that you can't pay back those debts. He said that in many places, that you could live and serve Hashem your whole life. You wouldn't have paid him back for the smallest chesed that he does for you. We don't know how to deal with that yet. I don't know if anybody worked out how to reconcile that yet. We believe it. Close to something else. I can't pay back Hashem, the famous Allah said in many places, for the smallest chesed Hashem did me with all the avoider, with all my servant, all my tzidkas, I'll become a chosid. You still haven't paid back Hashem for the smallest chesed he does for you. So I don't anyway have a way to reconcile that book. Those books don't work for me. My baby toenail on the left foot, I kick with my right, so that's the right toenail is a bit more of a chesed than the left one, yeah. I can never pay Hashem back for that, no matter how many mitzvahs I do. That's what he says in many places. It's a theme in the Chumash of the Bavos. Okay, so whatever. When you work out the calculus of that, the maths of that, let me know. But I'm just saying, there's a kasher, and he's going to pay me reward for that as well. I'm going to get reward after everything, and I haven't paid him back for anything yet. Sharei, I just want to see it inside. One second, okay? Sharei afilu adam shu tzadik. Even a person who's a tzaddik. What's a tzaddik? Using the Torah's definition of a tzaddik. Shulchan's definition of a tzaddik is somebody who does everything he's supposed to do. He does everything he's supposed to do. Not more, not less. He's someone who does everything he's supposed to do. That's the definition of a tzaddik. Yeah? Today we use the word very loosely, you know. Like I said, a bed in the morning today. Ah, it's a tzaddik. It's a tzaddik. I'm not saying not. Well, Shulchan Aruch's definition of a tzaddik. You do what you're supposed to do. No more, no less. Avraham Avinu was a chos. He did more than he was supposed to do. But when somebody's doing what he's supposed to do, any poreis achoyves amutolim olav avu atoyves shelokim meitiv imoy. Ella al yedei shelokim oizel ala soizois. He cannot, without Hashem's assistance, pay back Hashem all the good that Hashem does for him. You can't pay it back to Hashem. Tzaddik, it means he's doing everything he needs to do his whole life. He's not even close to paying back Hashem for all the good that Hashem does him, unless Hashem would help him. Hashem's helping him, so you owe Hashem for the help as well. It's money you can never pay him back. Sorry, I left out a line. Doesn't make any sense. Even if you read the line, I well, should read it anyway. This was a praise that this chassid gave Hashem. Even somebody who's a maskil, he mamash understands well. And he recognizes your goodness and your greatness. He doesn't glorify himself in his deeds. What he praises is your name, Hashem, and your rachamim. He prepared my heart to know Hashem. How do you know Hashem? Because Hashem helps you to know Hashem. Without Hashem helping you know Hashem, you would never know Hashem. If you're a tzaddik, you did some mitzvahs, you did something good, it's not because Hashem helped you. The Gemara says, Mefurish. The Yitzhara gets up every morning, he's going to kill you. He's not letting you do the mitzvahs. If Hashem helps you, Hashem will help you, you'll survive. Without Hashem's help, you can't. It's all about praising Hashem. Toiv lahoides l'Hashem. Toiv means the reason why you came into this world is lahoides l'Hashem. That's why we are. You first have to recognize it with all your tzitkas and all your mitzvahs and all you're doing. It's not a drop in the ocean of what you chayev to Hashem. Now you come to him and say, yeah, but I'm not doing anything until you pay me first. Pay you for what? You're riddled in debt. You're riddled in debt. Are you asking Hashem for a matzkin? Adkan perek vol. What don't you understand? Find a question, because then you'll have some. No, I'm saying, if you haven't got a question, there's not much to do about it except think more. You don't have to come with a question straight away.
I have everything I need to do right now.
You do.
Right. You do. So then...
Because Hashem will help you. If he doesn't help you, you won't be able to do anything.
Okay, I understand. So what's
I'll prove it to you.
What's the question?
I'll prove it to
no,
you.
No, no, I...
Lift up your hair.
I am... Okay.
I just explain to me how you did it.
I have no idea.
Correct. So Hashem helped you lift up your hair.
Right. So what am I asking for? This much and this? I'm asking for an advance. I'm asking for money because I'm going to then do the rocks and the Hashem. But if you're already understanding that I have everything I need, and therefore if that includes a 19-hour workday and 30 minutes of learning, because that's what I have, and that's my real, and that's my hishtabas, and that's my, that means that's Hashem's rockson. So what on earth am I asking for? Why?
You tell me. Are you a Baal Mashkin or not? Are you part of this group of people that has this hashkofa called Baal Mashkin? If you're not,
the, so that's the contradiction.
I don't understand. I don't understand what your problem is.
Contradictions inside.
Are you asking for Hashem for payment up front or not? You want me to serve you, Hashem? I'm prepared to serve you. But I want to make sure that everything's taken care of before. Baal Mashkin is. Again, if you're not, let's go back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning. If you're not part of this problem, you don't have this problem, so then why are you? If you don't want to play chess on Shabbos, then you don't have to learn the halachas of playing chess on Shabbos, correct? If you don't have this problem of being part of this group of people that has this problem of Osgo Mashkin, so it's not your problem, so move on to the next halacha. Why are you trying to fit yourself into the box if you're not there? We have enough problems without finding new ones.
Making assumptions.
We have to make up new problems. We have enough.
I assume that
I... Just one second. Write at the beginning. Perek Vav. Reitenen lechol laharis es a tipshus ves a taus shebashkosom zu. One second, where did he start this?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, yeah. The day Sheva Pirchel Shalev Yonam Meglah, God will toss him. No, but where's the toast? He hasn't said what the toast is.
Yeah, yes.
No, he says it at the end of Hayes is like this.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah. The last paragraph in Perek Hayes, in Sadik Ches. Okay, whatever. You tell this guy, when are you going to stop worrying about this world and taking care of this world? When are you going to stop thinking about preparing for Shabbos? It's Erev Shabbos. Have you prepared for Shabbos? This world is to prepare for the next world. You've been running around taking care of this world. When are you going to worry about al matzav makom menuchos secho? Azoin, he'll answer you. Actually, dai panosi ve'itztrachusi. When I have enough panosa and I have enough of what I need to live on, avuri v'avu ishti v'bonai, at sof yomeinu. When I've got enough for me and my wife and my kids to live on, ad maya esrim, if he thinks he'll live to my sin, maybe he won't be here in my sin, but whatever, according to his fantasy, then I will be freed up from worrying about this world. Then I'll start paying back Hashem what I owe him. Then I start thinking about getting ready for Olam Haba. That's the person we're talking to.
I do have that.
So if you don't have that problem, we'll then go straight to Perek Zayin. Then we can, when Perek Vav's not talking to you. If you have that problem, you don't have that problem. That's your problem again. That's all. Whatever. No, it could be anything. No. Good. I'm glad you raised that question. Could apply to anything. Could be a lot of things. Could be a lot of things.
There are only 24 hours a day. So you don't know that. If you have amount of hours a day, then you have to be involved in Olamaz and not Olamaz.
When you go to work, you're involved in Olamaz or Olamaz? 1 second. How long have you been coming to this Vav? When you go to work, why are you working? No, that's Olam Haba.
And everything's Olam Haba.
Correct. Nachon. What's that? 1 second. The question here, there's a desire to learn something that can improve your betochen. What exactly is lurking behind your outburst? Okay, so figure it out. Take 15 minutes a day, go to your room, lock the door, and think about it deeply.
I'm not working 24 hours a day to try and provide. I'm assuming that the problem must exist in something in a small way.
Once again. If you know you have this problem and you see it, so own it. That's your real, accept your real, and then go on and work through. The Chumash of Bavah wrote a whole chapter here to help you to slowly chip away at getting out of that mode. Okay? But I wouldn't be doing the work just on an assumption. If you have the problem, go work on it. You probably have a list of other problems you might have to deal with before you get to this. I don't know what people's reels are. We're learning an ideal here. You have to go down and process your reel and see what's something you want to deal with right now. I don't know. Where's your betochen levels? How's this interfering with your betochen? I don't know. That's a very personal thing. Personal things you can't deal with in a group environment. Group environment, you deal with ideals, principles. And we try and encourage people to get in touch with their reels, which is usually very far away from the ideal. And then you, on your own, with your chavrusa, with your relf, with your therapist, whoever it is, you'll work out how you get from real to ideal slowly. That's the dynamic. If this doesn't resonate with you, and you think to yourself, for sure, I'm not that idiot. Who could ever? There's a tall shebachoshos. You got a mistake in your shkofa. Well, they shevet piachas. It's going to come with seven kashas to uproot that mistake. If you're part of the kat, I'm a mashkin in a sashem. If you fit into that group, you're a card-carrying member of those that the munch of Hashem. Okay, we have work to do. If not, you realize, stupid, no, that's for sure not me. I have other problems. You go with the other problems. If the Chavis HaRavos decided to write a whole chapter on this little problem, assume that it's flying around there somewhere. It's not something that he kind of was like one or two Hasidim in the world. This is a problem that we all have. The problem starts right at the beginning. The problem starts right at the beginning in Avodas. We keep going back to the beginning because that beginning is the story of it's all about. You keep coming back to this. Why do you need betochen in Hashem? So that you are freed up. Again, betochen doesn't mean that you never have worries and you never scared and you never have problems. Right? That's where you start. You start with having daigas and worries and a lack of menuchas hanefesh, and then you come to betochen. If you're just not worried because you don't know what the problem is, that's not betochen.
We spoke about that yesterday, yes?
If you don't have money, so then you're not being stuck with the meat. You're not a guy who lives frugally. You just don't have money. Give the guy money. We'll see how he lives. You'll see where he's... So God doesn't have betochen because he doesn't have any problems. Fine. No, we're talking about a guy who has a real problem. Life-threatening problem. And then he hands it to Hashem. Again. So the goal, the end goal of betochen is that you're menuchas hanefesh me'adayga, and now you're freed up to serve Hashem. Doesn't mean you don't work. Doesn't mean you don't work for Pandas. Doesn't mean you got a doctor. Doesn't mean you don't have to find shidduchim for your kids. Whatever you're doing in the real world, you're doing it. But they all steer it to having betochen. We saw that. David HaMelech was the biggest Baal betochen of all the kings. And he did more status than the lowest of the Baal betochens. Hizkiyahu was the smallest Baal betochen. I mean, on their level, again. So what status did he make? Because his betochen wasn't good enough. He went to sleep and he won the war. David HaMelech was the biggest of the Baal betochens. And what did he do? He chased his enemies, he overtook them, and he destroyed them. And when you looked at David HaMelech functioning, you didn't see David HaMelech, you saw Hashem. It was Kulu Hashem. The same as when you looked at Chizkiyahu. You thought Chizkiyahu did anything? Chizkiyahu wasn't even prepared to daven. Because he said, if I daven, I think my davening brought the Yeshua. They went to bed. Okay, we have to understand it's a midrash. It's been a midrash properly. But it's counterintuitive. You would think that the bigger Baal B'tochen does less in Shtadl. Sometimes it's correct, sometimes not correct. You have to know. David HaMelech's job as Mashiach in the world, as a king, is to show you that you do everything you're supposed to do, fully actualized. When I look at you, I don't see you, I see Hashem. That's David HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech couldn't do that, so he had to go to bed in order to reveal. Chizkiyahu was also supposed to be Mashiach. To reveal Hashem in the world, he had to go to bed. We spoke about it often. The status you make has to be based on two factors. Number one, that if it doesn't work, you won't have regret that you didn't make more. If you uproot the betochen that you already had, that was fear number one. And fear number two is the status you make has to be in such a way that you don't think that it was you. It's a very delicate balance. It's hard work to come to the exam. Mm-hmm. A lot of trial and error and a lot of whatever, little, but there's other things going on at the same time. There's markets and there's this and there's economic flows and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in that thing called the shtadlis. But you have to make enough shtadlis that you won't regret not having made enough. But not too much that you start thinking it's your koyach, your status. It's making the panasa. That's a difficult place to be. That's where every Jew lives. That's where the nisoyin betochen is. If you don't have to make any status, betochen's easy. You just do whatever you want. You sit, you serve Hashem, whatever, and the money just pours in, whatever. You know, everything just takes care of itself. The washing machine never breaks down. Nothing of that. It's all the same. So then there's no kumsin being about betochen. Yeah, you have to make your status, you have to go to work, you have to do what you're doing, you have to do whatever. At the same time, no, that's not doing it. That's the whole story here. And then he says, just let's end off with this. You can't be freed up from worries unless you have a tochen in Hashem. Because if you don't have a tochen in Hashem, there's nobody here that doesn't trust something. When you got on the plane to come here, who are you trusting? Why did you think that it was? You ever heard of planes falling out of the sky? So what did you trust? You trust something, otherwise you don't get onto a plane. You don't sit in a building in Israel unless you trust something. The Kablan, the builder. You obviously don't know too much about Israeli builders. Otherwise you trust statistics. You trust something, otherwise you'll be sitting here shaking. The guy with an anxiety disorder, you're sitting here worried the whole time that the roof's going to fall in. He might understand better than understand me. Well, I'm not worried. But statistically, I'm safe. You'll never be free of daigas. You have to have betochen in Hashem. You know why? He says the frightening thing here. Mm-hmm. When you trust something other than Hashem, doesn't mean you don't make ishtadlis. You make ishtadlis, but you trust Hashem. Because if you trust something other than Hashem, you trust your bank manager to get a loan, Shem says, oh, you don't need me. Fine, so you deal with the bank manager. The bank will give you a loan. He won't give you a loan. I don't know, Shem says, but I'm not getting involved. You trust me, Hashem says, fine, I'll take care of your loan. The bank manager, think all these standards. I don't know, that's another discussion why you have to even talk to the bank manager. But if you're trusting the bank manager because your connections, your friend, your favor, blah, 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 that's why you're getting a loan. Shem says, fine, I'm a busy guy. I've got other people that need my help. You're obviously taken care of. You deal with the bank manager. You don't need me. There's no way to be freed up of daigas unless you have a betochen in Hashem. Well, that's the beginning and the end of the whole of Shara B'tochen. You have a problem, a serious problem. You recognize the enormity of the problem. You recognize, there's only I can trust in Hashem. Now, where am I holding in this whole dynamic? Okay, so that's my problem. I share my secrets with you. You work out where you hold it. The real Baal Batochen, the real Baal Batochen. Yeah, I don't know if somebody exists like that today. Yeah, on what's that simple story? He went to sleep at night, not worried because they're talking in Hashem. How did we get to sleep? What's this in Kustaira? Because Baruch Hashem, there was a punch here, but Baruch Hashem, the army's woken up and they're starting to take care of the problem. So you got to sleep. Yeah? That's unreal. The ideal is what army? Whose army? Because Hashem taking care of everything. Hashem will take care of everything. I'm thinking standards so do what you have to do, but that's not what I'm relying on. I'm relying on Hashem. Who can honestly say that about themselves? Went to sleep because Baruch Hashem, you know, we saw the tanks going on the road and we went, Baruch Hashem, the army's woken up, they'll take care of the problem. Don't get out of your house because it's dangerous, whatever, etc., etc. Well, you know, the Baal Batochen, Rav Chanina ben Doisa, he doesn't see armies, he doesn't see tanks, he doesn't see Arabs, he sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You want a light vinegar? Light vinegar. Walk through a wall, walk through a wall. There's no wall, yeah? There's a Hashem. So we're a little bit far from all of that. So bring it down into your Panosa. Same thing with Panosa. Make ishtadlus, you make ishtadlus. What kind of ishtadlus? That's a difficult cheshbon, what ishtadlus and how much ishtadlus and when ishtadlus and what you sacrifice for ishtadlus and when you sacrifice your ishtadlus. I don't think those are difficult personal decisions a person has to make. But we're not asking Hashem for payment before I start getting my act together. You start getting your act together now. And you trust that Hashem will take care of what he has to take care of. And when the money comes, it comes. It doesn't come, it doesn't come. There's nothing to do with your efforts. That's the whole story. And that's a lifetime's work, not something that happens overnight. How long have we been working on this subject for? When did we start these sharing? 20 years ago? You know, we've made a bit of progress. Well, I'm still not lighting vinegar.